The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, we are hitting the midway point of the baseball season. This is the last weekend we have until the All-Star break coming up on Monday. So let's get right into what happened this week in baseball. Beginning on Monday night, as I've mentioned before, I feel like the Braves are the best team in baseball, and they just continue to get better. And the front runner for the MVP right now in the National League is for sure Ronald Acuña Jr., and he just had a spectacular game on Monday night, where he ended up becoming the first player in the history of Major League Baseball to have 20 home runs, 40 stolen bases, and 50 RBI before the All-Star break in a 4-2 win over the Cleveland Guardians. So not only do the Braves keep getting better, but their All-Star MVP player, Ronald Acuña Jr., is having a hell of a season. It's kind of getting overshadowed, of course, by Ohtani, because, you know, as I've mentioned before, Ohtani's a unicorn. He's doing something we have yet to see in baseball, so it's pretty crazy. But hey, also at the same time, Ronald Acuña Jr. just did something this week that we haven't seen in the history of the game. So he's also having a great season as well. Then on Tuesday, speaking of the Los Angeles Angels, they unfortunately got some bad news when it came to Mike Trout. He is going to be on the injured list for about 6 to 8 weeks with a broken wrist. He did have successful surgery, I believe, yesterday or the day before. So it looks like he's going to be well on track to come back in about a month, month and a half, 2 months. But they will be without his powerful bat in the lineup for quite some time. Also, his defense as well. His defense is very underrated. So we'll see if the Angels are able to overcome that. But that is a huge loss to the Los Angeles Angels. Then on Wednesday night, stop me if you've heard this before, but we're going to talk more Braves baseball here. You know, I've basically every time I talk about the Braves, you bring up a new player every time who just steps up and has a big game. Well, guess what? Let's talk about Sean Murphy. Had a huge game on Wednesday night. He went 4-for-5 with 3 runs, 2 RBI, 1 home run, and an 8-1 win over the Cleveland Guardians. And that was also the 23rd straight game that the Atlanta Braves have had at least 1 home run. So offensively, this team is just killing it. And like I said, they keep getting it from different players. Every week, it feels like we have another player stepping it up, another player steps it up, and they're so deep, it's going to be really difficult for anybody to stop the Braves. Even if they suffer some injuries, they are so deep and have so many damn players who are so damn good right now that they're going to be really difficult for any team to go up against the rest of the season. And then last night, Francisco Lindor of the New York Mets went 5-for-5 with a home run and 2 triples in a 9-0 win over the Arizona Diamondbacks. They actually ended up sweeping the Diamondbacks this week. So the Mets are right now on a 5-game winning streak, and that's something they really need right now because this team has been reeling. Now, they've been up and down all season, so right now, are they just in an up? And then once we hit the break and they come out of it, are they going to be back in a slump or what's going to happen here? But they did get a big game from Lindor, and they had a nice solid series against the Arizona Diamondbacks this past week. All right, now moving on to UFC. We have UFC 290 this weekend. The featherweight championship matchup is Alexander Volkanovski, 25-2, who is the current title holder right now. Is going to be going up against Yair Rodriguez with a 16-3 record and 1 no contest for Volkanovski's belt. Volkanovski is an excellent all-around fighter. I mean, the guy, he's great. He's one of the best grapplers in UFC, but standing up, dude, the guy can, he delivers some blows. And so it's going to be a difficult matchup for Rodriguez, even though Rodriguez is, I mean, he's got a 16-3 record. That's nothing to sleep on. but he's also a good grappler. So I kind of feel like this is going to be a ground and pound type match between the two of them. And I'm going to lead towards Volkanovski just because I feel like he is the better fighter in this matchup. I expect to go to the distance, and I feel like he'll get the decision. But don't sleep on Rodriguez. And honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if Rodriguez is able to sneak it out. But I'm going to go ahead and take Volkanovski in that one. And then there's another good matchup in the middleweight division. We've got Robert Whittaker, who's 25-6, versus Dricus du Plessis, who's 19-2, and du Plessis, he's been an up-and-comer in the UFC now for the last year or two, and I've seen a couple of his fights, and they are fun to watch. So if you're just looking for a good matchup, him versus Whittaker is just going to be a fun one, no matter who wins. But du Plessis is definitely rising right now in the UFC, and I feel like that's just going to be a good matchup to watch. Now, I do feel like talking some football. We are a couple weeks away from training camps. They begin at the end of the month. So I kind of feel like let's just throw out some random football topics so I can start talking some football here. So this week I decided let's talk about the top five teams with the most pressure to win the Super Bowl, beginning with number one, the Buffalo Bills. I feel like this is a team that actually took a step back last year when they should have taken a step forward. This has been a team that's definitely been a Super Bowl contender the last couple of years. I mean, myself included, a lot of us picked them to at least go to the Super Bowl last year, and they didn't even come close. They really, like I said, they really underachieved. They still had a good season, but they really didn't do what we all expected them to do. So I kind of feel like the Bills are on notice this year. They've got to do something. I feel like they at least have to make the Super Bowl. Maybe not win the Super Bowl, but they definitely have to make the Super Bowl to really have it be a successful season. Because, you know, Josh Allen, he's been in the league for a few years now, and, you know, he's an MVP caliber quarterback, but then they've got a really solid defense. Von Miller's injury did take a huge chunk out of that defense last year. So I just kind of feel like they underachieved, and they're probably one of the top teams this year that everybody's looking at like they're a Super Bowl favorite. And so in my opinion, I feel like they are the top team this year with the most pressure on them to win a Super Bowl. Then the second team on my top five teams with the most pressure to win the Super Bowl, I have the Cincinnati Bengals, because they're also a team, you know, they're 2 years removed from losing the Super Bowl. Last year, they started off the season slow. As a matter of fact, the last two seasons, they started off the season slow, then get it going towards the playoffs, and they make some good runs there. But now I kind of feel like they're a team where you look at them. As a matter of fact, I think I could be wrong about this, but right now I believe they're the second favorite team to actually win the Super Bowl this year. So they do have high expectations on them. They're a solid team. They made good additions in the offseason. So I feel like they have a shit ton of pressure on them to win the Super Bowl as well, just because they're a team on the rise. And since they're 2 years removed from being in the Super Bowl, they are a team that everybody's looking at that could potentially win another one, and I feel like they have a lot of pressure on them to win one this season. Then at number three on my top five teams with the most pressure to win the Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles. Hey, they just lost the Super Bowl, and it's pretty well known that usually the Super Bowl loser is sometimes, in some cases, it's both teams, but almost always the Super Bowl loser suffers a Super Bowl hangover the next season. And there are a lot of times, like, hey, last year, the Rams, they were the Super Bowl winner the year before, but man, they completely fell off last year. And that tends to happen, not every year, but it's always something that is on everybody's mind. And and because you made the Super Bowl the previous year, everybody's always looking at you because you were a good enough team to at least make it to the Super Bowl. And whether you won or lost, you still were the best in your conference, and you made it to the Super Bowl. So everybody's looking at you. And the Eagles did make some good additions in the offseason. I feel like they are a better team than they were last year. I wouldn't be shocked if they suffer that Super Bowl hangover, because it's just very typical. And, you know, coming into the season, you don't want to be, you don't want to hear about it. You're definitely going to hear about it coming into training camp. You're probably going to hear about it the first couple of weeks of the season, unless you're like 4-0, for example, you start the season off really hot. Well, then nobody's going to ask you about it. But if you start the season off 2-2, people are going to start asking you about it. So I feel like regardless of how the Eagles season ends up, if it starts off shaky, everybody's going to be talking about Super Bowl hangover. And they are a good team. They are a young team. So they're probably looking at it like, we want to make sure everybody knows we weren't just a fluke last year, that we actually are a good team. And so with that, I feel like the Eagles in the entire NFC are for sure the team with the most pressure on them to win a Super Bowl, especially now that Aaron Rodgers is no longer in the NFC. The NFC is pretty much wide open for any team, in my opinion, because there aren't that many teams with great number one quarterbacks. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Eagles are able to maintain their dominance or if they just fall off. Then at number four on my top five teams with the most pressure to win the Super Bowl, I have the Baltimore Ravens. They just signed Lamar Jackson to a huge contract in the offseason. I mean, we all expected them to do that. You kind of have to. If you find yourself a good quarterback, and if they're good, I mean, Lamar Jackson is an MVP winner, so that says it all. But hasn't had a shit ton of playoff success yet. But he still could. He's been injury prone the last couple of seasons as well. But the Ravens obviously are a team that everybody expects to at least make the playoffs. But in my opinion, since they've been Lamar Jackson's won an MVP. So in my opinion, that puts a shit ton of pressure on any player. You win an MVP, that says a lot. That means you are a damn good player. But are you good enough to win in the playoffs? Are you good enough to win a Super Bowl? And I kind of feel like not only do they have to make the playoffs this year, if they don't make the playoffs this year, that's a complete failure and they might want to blow some shit up. Not saying get rid of Lamar Jackson, but they're going to have to do something. But I feel like they're absolutely a team with a lot of pressure on them to win a Super Bowl because they just signed him to a huge contract. He's got a lot of pressure on him, and they've got a good coach in Harbaugh as well. And so they've got a lot to prove, in my opinion, and I feel like they definitely are a team with a lot of pressure on them to win the Super Bowl. And then rounding out my top five teams with the most pressure to win the Super Bowl, I have the San Francisco 49ers. They're another team that the last 3-4 years, they've been to the Super Bowl, they've been to the championship games, they've overcome a lot. In all of these years, they have yet to have a solid starting quarterback. So is that going to be another problem for them this year? They are one of the best teams in the league. They have one of the best rosters from top to bottom. They have some of the best offensive weapons you're ever going to find. Hell, some of the best defensive weapons you're ever going to find. They have MVP caliber players at defensive end with Bosa, with Deebo Samuel. That guy, he can run and he could catch, and he's just a huge playmaker in the open field. So, I mean, I feel like the 49ers, you know, they've been, and we talk about Shanahan as being this offensive genius. Well, y'all got to win something, and they haven't won anything. And so I kind of feel like the 49ers have, and like I said, with the NFC, no Aaron Rodgers, it's wide open for everybody. So it's wide open for the San Francisco 49ers to maybe finally get back to the Super Bowl and actually win it this time around. Now, notice I did not put the Kansas City Chiefs on there. And the reason why is because we know what they are at this point. They've been to 3 Super Bowls. They've won 2 of them and lost 1. Mahomes has been an MVP. Travis Kelce has been the best tight end in the league. Andy Reid, one of the best coaches in the league. And they're just a potent team, and we know what they are. I kind of feel like they've now elevated themselves to the level that the Patriots used to be with Tom Brady and Belichick in the years that they were winning the Super Bowls. I feel like now the Chiefs have elevated to that level where we don't even have to think about them anymore. Not only do we expect them to at least be a Super Bowl contender, but you know that that's what they expect of themselves. So I didn't put them on here because I don't feel like there's any new pressure on them as opposed to these other teams, because it's like if the Chiefs don't win the Super Bowl this year, it's not like any of us are going to be like, oh, geez, the Chiefs have problems. Nah, they're good. As long as they've got Patrick Mahomes, as long as they've got Andy Reid, that team is going to be in the mix every single year. So I did not put them in my top five for this because I don't feel like there's any new pressure on them. I feel like they put the pressure on themselves. And like I said, even if they don't win a Super Bowl, it's not like any of us are going to be like, oh, geez, this team, watch out for them. They're going to fall off any day now. No, that's not how I feel about them at all. All right, now let's get to this week's top five list. Since the Home Run Derby is on Monday night, it's usually a fun event. I sometimes watch it. I sometimes don't. It really just depends on my mood. But there have been some great ones in the past. And I don't really like the format they've changed it to. I can't remember how long ago they changed it to this. I think it was like 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, maybe more. But they turned it into like a bracket type tournament. And so, I mean, there's one Home Run Derby performance on my list this week that they should have easily won, but unfortunately they didn't win because of the way this bracket works out. And I feel like if you're playing in the Home Run Derby, it should always go to who has the most home runs, or at least just has the best, you know, just, I just don't like the bracket form. So that's kind of been a turnoff for me, even though, you know, I may still watch it on Monday, who knows. Even so, today's list is going to be the top five Home Run Derby performances. And there's a couple guys on here who did not win the Home Run Derby, but their performance was so great that I had to talk about it. But the top three, they all won Home Run Derbies, because I feel like if you have a great performance, you should have won it. But the fifth and the fourth players, they did so amazing, they had to be brought up. So let's start it off with number five, and that would be Josh Hamilton of the Texas Rangers back in 2008. You know, this guy, at the time, he had been drafted by the Tampa Bay Rays. He was one of the top picks. He had a lot of high expectations on him. And then he got addicted to drugs and basically lost his job with the Tampa Bay Rays. The Texas Rangers took a chance on him in the minor leagues. And then he just, he worked his way up. He got clean. And so this was a big year for his story because he was having a phenomenal year. And if you don't know, by the way, Josh Hamilton has actually fallen off the wagon and he's a complete and utter fucking scumbag. Now I could be wrong on what he was arrested for, but I'm pretty sure he was arrested for some type of child abuse or some shit. And he's back, you know, doing drugs and, drinking or whatever. So, guy's back to being a scumbag. But back in 2008, he had a pretty nice story. But that's why I personally think stories are stupid. I pretty much hate nice stories because that's the reason why. Because usually you are what you are. And turns out Josh Hamilton started out a scumbag and has ended up a scumbag. So cute little happy feel-good stories are usually bullshit in the end. But I digress. He still had an amazing performance in the Home Run Derby back in 2008. And so, like I said, this was a big year for him. Everybody was talking about him, just making this big comeback, and he did. He had a great, he didn't come up with the Rangers. He came up with the Reds. The Cincinnati Reds took a chance on him, and then the Reds traded him to the Rangers. That's right. So he's with the Rangers, having a spectacular season. Here he is in the Home Run Derby. And in the first round, he set a record hitting 28 home runs, and he hit 13 in a row, which was also a record. And it was, I remember watching this one. It was fucking amazing because honestly, in my personal opinion, there really is nothing like a home run. You know, since I'm a girl, I've never been able to be impressive with sports, meaning I'd love to throw a football like 70 yards. I can't do that. I'm a girl. I'd love to fucking slam dunk a ball. That sounds like so much fun. Can't do that. I'm 5'2" and a girl. And I would love nothing more than to just crank and yank a motherfucking home run out the ballpark. And I mean a huge one, not some bullshit little softball home run. I mean, I want to look like Aaron Judge, Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani. I want to crank and yank that shit out of there. If I could do any one of those three things, throw a football 70 yards, slam dunk, or crank and yank a home run all day, every day. There is nothing more impressive than hitting a home run, because it is. The most difficult thing in all of sports is to hit a baseball. So to hit a home run, I feel like that's got to be so awesome. So a home run derby, I feel like it's just great, because, I mean, you could just crank and yank, crank and yank. And that's what Josh Hamilton did in the first round. Now, unfortunately for him, the first couple of rounds, it took the wind out of his sails. That's actually what's cool about the home run derby is sometimes if you go too hard at the beginning, at the end, you could be fucked. And if your opponent, just kind of took their time with their swings and then gave it their all in the last round, then that's what could screw you. And that's actually what happened to Josh Hamilton. He ended up losing to Justin Morneau that year of the Minnesota Twins. But, I mean, just to watch him crank and yank in those first couple of rounds, especially the first round, it was awesome. It was amazing to watch, and I still remember that shit to this day. Then at number four on my top five home run derby performances, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. of the Toronto Blue Jays back in 2019. This guy went off, and unfortunately, he didn't win. But this is who I was talking about, who had more home runs than everybody that night. He had the most amazing performance. But unfortunately, he lost to Pete Alonso of the New York Mets. It's just because the way the matchups went, Alonso ended up winning. And I'm not trying to take away anything from Alonso, but that's why I hate that, because Vlad had a night. Now, they both had a hell of a night, but Vlad went off. He actually ended up breaking Josh Hamilton's record. He had 29 home runs in the first round, 40 home runs in the second round, which is a record, and 22 in the third. So he ended up with a total of 91 home runs that night, which is also a record in Major League Baseball. So he owns the record for the single round in the second round with 40, and he also owns the home run derby record for most home runs total with 91. That's why I hate the bracket setup, because, like, obviously he should have won, but he didn't, and Alonso did. But man, I remember watching him just crank him out. Him and Alonso, they did have a nice battle in the end, but man, Vlad, that was just excellent. And, it just was one of the craziest home run derby moments you will ever see. And, I mean, he's still knocking him out of the park. Then at number three on my top five home run derby performances, Bobby Abreu of the Philadelphia Phillies back in 2005. Now, Abreu was never known for being a home run guy. Usually in the home run derby, they add somebody odd in there, either because they're a hometown guy, because usually wherever the All-Star game's at, they always want to try and promote the hometown, most notably the hometown team. And so usually wherever they're at, they'll get a guy, even if it's not the biggest guy. But Abreu was one of those guys who was just happened to be there. Nobody expected him to win. Well, not only did he win, but in one round, he had, not in one round total that night, he actually had 41 home runs. Nobody expected that. He got the win. Obviously, Vlad Guerrero murdered that number. But Bobby Abreu just was, it was a huge surprise. And he actually just dominated this night. And it was just the weirdest thing ever, because nobody expected Bobby Abreu to do it. And not only did he win, but it actually is one of the most memorable home run derby performances. When I was doing research on this, everybody had him in their top five, just because it was so shocking, surprising, and awesome at the same time. Then at number two on my top five home run derby performances, Bryce Harper, when he was with the Washington Nationals back in 2018. What was so fucking awesome about this one? First of all, we didn't even know if Harper was going to be in the home run derby there. It was the first time he'd ever done it. But there, he might not have. And he did. He ended up doing it. And thank God he did, because he gave one of the greatest performances ever. He trailed Kyle Schwarber by 9 home runs with 50 seconds left to go. At the buzzer, he hits the last and final home run and wins the home run derby. It is just so crazy to see not only him hit that many home runs in that little bit of time. I mean, down 9 home runs with 50 seconds, that's not a lot of time, but damn, he cranked them and yanked them and got that win. And at the buzzer, too, it was just, it was crazy. And it's a moment, because I did watch that one, and it's a moment I'll never forget. Now, number one on my top 5 home run derby performances, it's actually not one performance, but it is the king of the home run derby, and that would be Ken Griffey Jr. If you don't know, if you haven't been listening to the show, you know, you gotta know, I love me some Ken Griffey Jr. I think most of us baseball fans love us some Ken Griffey Jr., because one of the great things about him, he had one of the most beautiful swings. He was just such a fun 5-tool player, but also, he played in the steroid era, and he was not dirty. He never had a failed drug test. There wasn't even a whisper that this dude was doing roids. Also, he wasn't, like, that big either. I mean, he was built like a champ, and obviously, you gotta have some power to hit those home runs out of the park. But Ken Griffey Jr. was pure baseball, and he owned the home run derby. He's been to 8 home run derbies. He's won 3 of them. He won them in 94, 98, and 99, all as a Seattle Mariner. He also was the runner-up in 92, 93, and 2000. So this guy just owns it. But, I mean, watching Ken Griffey Jr. in all of them, he's hit buildings. That's how far he's cranked them out the park. And he makes hitting a home run look so goddamn easy. Even though, like I said, it is one of the most difficult things to ever do. But he just walks up, hat on backwards, looking all cool-ass, like, yo, I'm Ken Griffey Jr. Boom, out the park. Boom, hit a building. Boom, boom, boom. Ken Griffey Jr., one of the greatest of all time, and really enjoyed his career, and he for sure has to be number one on the home run derby list. At first, I was going to pick one, but I'm like, come on, man. It's Ken Griffey Jr. He dominated everything he did with this shit, and so I put him at number one. Got to talk about each and every one of them, and even the one, I think it was the 98 season, he almost didn't do it, but he did, and he eked out a nice win in that one. So, Ken Griffey Jr., number one on my top 5 home run derby performances. And speaking of the home run derby, on Monday night this year, the matchups are going to be Chicago White Sox Luis Robert Jr. versus Baltimore Orioles Adley Rutschman. Then we have New York Mets Pete Alonso going for his 3rd win. So he would tie Ken Griffey Jr. for the most wins if he ends up winning versus Seattle Mariners Julio Rodriguez. And since the All-Star game is in Seattle, he is that Seattle representative. Then we have Los Angeles Dodgers Mookie Betts versus Toronto Blue Jays Vladimir Guerrero Jr. So he may be able, I mean, really, look out for Vlad. And then last but not least, we have Texas Rangers Adolis Garcia versus Tampa Bay Rays Randy Arozarena. Now, who do I think is going to win this whole thing? I'm picking Randy Arozarena to win it all. Pete Alonso, great hitter, but I just kind of feel like winning 3, it's really difficult to do. And then you also have Vlad Guerrero Jr., who is another guy who I feel like could easily win this. But for some reason, you know, Arozarena's been having a fantastic season. And I just kind of see this guy coming out the gate and having a great All-Star game and winning the Home Run Derby. So that's my prediction for the Home Run Derby. Randy Arozarena walking away with the win. All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Enjoy sports. And I will talk to you fools on Monday.